Now to take us into our message for today, I hope you enjoy this music video. Well, I hope you enjoyed that video to take us into the talk, because it's very much related with what we're going to talk about. Our topic today is Quantum of Solace. And the talk title was taken from a James Bond movie by the same name. And yes, I had to do one more James Bond movie because I said there would be three, and that is the third. And besides which, I also come to realize a couple more similarities between Sean Connery and me, okay? And the first is, as the character of James Bond, he loved his martinis shaken and not stirred. And I have the same thing. I enjoy a shaken martini. But the one that really struck home that was so similar between us is James Bond was quite the ladies' man. And I can't tell you how many times in my life ladies have told me that they would just as soon die rather than go out with me. So we have that going for us. Anyway, it's the last of the James Bond movies we'll be doing, at least for a while. And we will not be playing the theme song from the movie today because it's so far removed from today's message. But the title of the movie itself, Quantum of Solace, actually lends itself quite nicely to a very spiritual concept. And this is the concept of peace. Ah, peace. The great elusive butterfly of humanity. Every week we sing the peace song, and we'll sing it again this morning. More than any other song, it really has become kind of unity's national anthem. It has a communal binding effect on Unitex. But ironically, in some Unity churches in which the minister has tried to eliminate the peace song from the service, the congregations mobilized and they were ready to go to war over the issue. The human race has been without peace for over 10,000 years. And for the same amount of time, has desperately craved it. In my entire lifetime, regardless of what religious circle I have traveled in, always people prayed for peace. And in my travels all over the world, regardless of the country, regardless of the people, the many different cultures that I encountered, I came to learn how people yearn for peace. How many Miss America contestants over the years have pledged that if selected, if they were crowned as Miss America, would dedicate themselves to world peace? And so it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? How can it be that human beings all over the planet have longed for something since forever, but just can't seem to make it manifest? I don't know. Maybe we don't know. Maybe we don't get it. Maybe what we struggle to make happen always seems to be out of reach because we're trying to get hold of a ghost or an illusion. For starters, we always seem to define peace in terms of lack. For most of the world, peace is about the absence of war, the absence of conflict, the absence of bullets or bombs in the air. And over the past year, many of us might have defined peace as the absence or the disappearance of a stupid virus that has plagued the entire planet, as if a return to what was before would spell peace for us. Pretty difficult to imagine, since certainly the world before the coronavirus was anything but peaceful. And the same thing goes on in our personal lives, in our own little worlds. Each and every one of us is a prime living example of Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to create a defeatist mentality or a defeatist attitude here. It's just that the reality that with life comes stuff that you have to deal with, okay? It makes no difference who you are, what color you are, or where you live in the world. You likely are going to have to deal with things like a clogged drain or a skinned knee at some time in your life. And it makes no difference if you're a billionaire or a pauper, at some point you're going to have a headache, a sore throat, a runny nose, and quite likely be in a relationship or two or several, which is going to break your heart at least a little bit. Sometime, somewhere in your life, someone's going to disappoint you. Your TV set is certainly going to go on the fritz. Your cell phone will drop an important call. You'll lose Wi-Fi connection when you really need it. And words might come out of your mouth that you wish you could just take back. Good chance that somebody will bully you, laugh at you, or even more painfully, just ignore you. In the prophetic words of Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana, it's always something. Life seems like this never-ending stream of things you have to deal with regardless of who you are, where you are, or how old you are. And I suppose if you are of really great wealth, you can hire maids and servants to deal with most of the annoyances, but escaping them entirely? Ain't gonna happen. And sometimes you just want to give it a rest. kind of like driving along a highway when you're really tired and there's such a long way to go. I remember one time I really had to make a stop, and then I saw this sign that said, next rest area, 18 miles. And I thought, wow, that's really big. Sorry about that. But in all seriousness, this precious God-given gift of life that we all enjoy, it comes with challenges. It's the way it's supposed to be. And we all suffer illness, either in ourselves or having to deal with it in a loved one. We all have to deal with speed bumps and detours and rejections and expectations from others that we are doomed to fail. Surely you've experienced those days that one thing after another just goes wrong. Have you ever experienced a week like that? A month or maybe even a year where it just seems like you just can't get a break? And you just cry out for peace. But most of the time, what you really are crying out for is for all of the nonsense to stop, to go away, at least for a while. You pray for a pause or a bit of rest, just a tiny bit of respite. But again, as is the case of praying for world peace, what you're really praying for is an absence of the annoyances, the bothers, the troubles, or the symptoms. And this is really such an important distinction. Think about it. What is it that you really, really want? Do you want to feel better? Or do you want to be better? Do you want the world to just go away? Or do you want to be better? Our way shower Jesus, in affirming to those he loved, my peace I give to you, makes a really important distinction. Not as the world gives peace, do I give my peace to you. And so we learn from this that there must be something more, something other than a lack of the never-ending stream of life's pains and struggles and nuisances. There is something greater than what we get from the world, something that is part of the kingdom, perhaps. We learn that there is peace, and then there's peace. But what exactly is it? And is it hidden somewhere? What does it look like? And if it really does exist, how do I find it? And just how is it different from making all of the crazy things in life that drive me absolutely nuts go away? And there's one more really important question. If and when we find it, how much does it cost? If I decide I want it, what do I have to pay? In unity, we affirm that there is more to us than what meets the eye. In unity, we dare to claim our Christ essence. We boldly claim our wholeness. And all of that is perfectly well and good, except that there is still that nagging part of us that does meet the eye. I don't know about any of you, but when I look in the mirror, at times it's a challenge to see that wholeness and that different, non-worldly peace that Jesus was talking about can seem awfully elusive. So maybe a bit of science might be helpful. Our topic today is quantum of solace, a very scientific sounding topic, don't you think? There's a thing called quantum physics that we've all heard of, but very few of us have a clue what it is and what it involves. Quantum is a very fancy Latin word that simply means amount. And in physics, it could be a very small amount of something, but it contributes a really important energy to the total picture, the total reality, or the total truth or essence of something. As for solace, it's a noun, but it's an active noun that simply means to give comfort or consolation in a time of distress or sadness or depression. Now, if there are any real honest-to-goodness physicists out there just jumping out of your seats to tell me how I got all of this wrong, I really don't want to hear from you. Ironically, it's probably easier to talk about spirituality than physics. When we talk about a quantum of solace spiritually, we really are talking about the very nature of peace that Jesus was referring to. And it exists in each and every one of us. We all have an innate ability to be present to someone who is down and out, someone who is really hurting. We all have that ability to heal, to take something or someone that is broken and restore that something or that someone to wholeness. And furthermore, we have the healing power to restore our own brokenness to wholeness. If you wish to understand the healing miracles in the gospel, I believe this is exactly what Jesus was doing. He responded to those who were in trouble with a spiritual quantum of solace, a bit of healing, loving energy that never focused on symptoms, but on a living affirmation of their wholeness. This is the peace that Jesus shared with his loved ones. It was not an elimination or denial of your flaws or hang-ups or addictions, their neuroses or their problems. It wasn't pretending that they weren't blind, crippled, or that they were lepers. It was about comforting them by reminding them of their worth and of their wholeness, and therefore always loved and embraced by the Father. I don't know if you ever had the experience of being in the presence of somebody so completely broken. It's not a pleasant experience. Many years ago, I was once teasing one of my siblings about something, and all of a sudden, she just absolutely melted down right in front of me. It was obvious that there was so much more going on with her than the teasing. She just lost it. She just started sobbing uncontrollably. And I have to tell you, it scared the living daylights out of me. And I didn't know how to put the pieces back together. And that was my first objective, just get it together. I wasn't interested in why the brokenness showed up. I just knew it was serious. And I tried to comfort her. And at first, she just pushed me away. And it really took a long time for her to come back and allow me just to give her a hug. And I had a similar experience when I was at a retreat at seminary. I saw this happen with a classmate as she just, out of the blue, shared her pain, her brokenness. And I just remember feeling completely useless because I had no clue what to do. I didn't know how to extend even a small quantum of solace. I get concerned sometimes in Unity. We have this aversion toward people saying, "Oh Lord, I am not worthy." And the reason we don't want to hear something like this is because at our core, it's nonsense. However, it doesn't change the way people may feel at a given moment or time. And it doesn't make sense to tell someone who is feeling something that they shouldn't be feeling what they feel. How much more meaningful might it be just to be present, just to offer comfort, consolation, listen, or give a hug? These types of things are difficult events for us to experience, particularly when we witness them in ourselves, when we have that feeling of just being shattered, that feeling that of just going to pieces. And it's possible for any one of us to lose a grip. And most of the time, our heads go to just wanting it to go away. Make the crying stop. As if it will all be all right if we can restore some sense of normalcy, which very often means going back to pretending. You want to know why it's so difficult to get a hold of the kind of peace that Jesus was talking about? Just my opinion. But I think it's because we work so hard hiding it. We are taught early on not to show our brokenness, to hide it. We are taught to be strong. We skin our knees, and the first thing that we're told as kids is, "Don't cry." We're taught to be strong and not admit the hurts, especially if you are a male. I grew up where it was all about being macho. I learned early on never to give someone else the satisfaction of knowing that they got the better of me. And why would I or anybody else work to find solace when your whole persona is all about sending a message that you just don't need it? And so this peace that Jesus was talking about is perfectly hidden in plain view. It's deep within each and every one of us. It's not something we have, it's something that we are. But in order to get there, to feel it, to allow it to bring us even a small quantum of solace, we have to quit pretending. The only way to become invulnerable to all of the craziness that goes on in the world is by making ourselves vulnerable. The way to heal is not to apply a Band-Aid or to pop a pill, but to partner with the Christ within, the power within you, to restore your wholeness. The problems, the troubles, the worries, the illnesses are always going to be there. Ain't much of that stuff that's going to go away. But one of the healing characteristics of your own wholeness is not to deny that they exist, but that there's a greater sense of God, of Spirit, alive, whole, and healthy within you that reduces all of the plagues, everything that bothers you, to nothing. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word most often used is shalom. And most people think this is just another word for peace. but it carries a much deeper meaning. When used as a greeting, it's a prayerful greeting that affirms the other person's journey from whatever state of brokenness that he or she may be experiencing to a restoration of wholeness. Think about that. It's not perfunctory. It's a call from spirit that comes from the lips of a brother or a sister. It recognizes the divine and calls it forth. It is a quantum of solace. It's an expression of commitment that bears witness to the never-ending loving relationship that we share with God. I don't know. That's about as close as I can come to describing or defining the peace that Jesus was referring to. And I don't always successfully embrace it, but when I do, I find some quantum of solace. In just a little while, we will once again sing our peace song. I ask you to do that today with some sense of mindfulness. Not just in the melody of the song, but with a consciousness and awareness of the words. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. That's a prayer that doesn't call for you just to start eliminating the junk in your life. That's a call to yourself to embrace that bit, that small piece of you that contributes an incredibly powerful energy of what true peace is all about. I share with you this morning my peace, and I bid you shalom. Let's take this to prayer and to meditation.